Good morning. There are many that are visiting with us this morning. We are certainly thankful that you come out to be with us. I ask you if you would open your Bibles or turn on your tablets or whatever you would like to look at and turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. That is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. What I'd like to do is look at this story, hopefully a little bit differently than perhaps we have in the past. It is a pleasure to see Brother Ford out with us this morning, be able to worship God with him. Brother Ford has been a preacher of God's Word for many years, and he's moved up back to the area. He did a lot of good work here in this area, not only at West Mason, but also in the Cincinnati, Dayton, and around this area. And so it's good to see him. We need to continue to remember him in our prayers and his wife as well. It's good to see him, so make sure that you say hi to him. It's also bittersweet to see Lindsay up here leading singing. This is his last Sunday with us, and it's been a pleasure to worship with him as well. He's going down to Florida, so I assume he'll be visiting. So his family's going to be here. I'll get that in public record. But it's good to have been with him, to watch you grow, and see everything that you've been able to accomplish. So we need to remember him as well. I saw this picture, and I don't know how well you're going to be able to see it. Oh, it's tremendous. Up here on this computer, it's fantastic. This obviously is after David has killed Goliath, and before David is about to cut off his head, because after that would be just too gory, I'm sure. But what I want you to notice about this picture is that we always focus on that part. But there's a lot of other people involved in this story, and that's who I want to focus on a little bit more this morning. We focus on David and Goliath. We'll talk a little bit about them. But there's a lot of other things that are going on in this story that perhaps we don't think about. There's a group over in this corner that are leaving as quickly as possible because of what just happened. There's a group over in there here in this corner where the guy in red, who is supposed to be Saul, all of a sudden has a little courage. And the people that are with him, who are Israel's army, are excited. And I have a feeling about 20, 30 minutes a little earlier, they were ready to become slaves. This little boy is not going to be able to kill this Goliath, this champion. A scene of faith. Depending who you are in this picture, or in this story, in this chapter, changes things. What I want us to do this morning is to look at this chapter, and I want us to see 3 points. I want us to see what happens when we have a lack of faith, when we have faith in man, and when we have a faith in Almighty God. And I think we see it in this chapter. We certainly see different perspectives in different stories. You can do this, obviously, in different contexts. We did this a few months ago now, with the scene at the cross and different people there. But I want you to notice this from this chapter. This chapter starts off in verse 1, talking about how the Philistines in Israel have been battling for a while, and this leads up to this chapter. But in verse 1, in the beginning, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah." The scriptures are very clear to indicate who this belongs to. They, the Philistines, were in Judah. Gath, which you can see over here, hopefully, Gath. I would jump up there, but I don't want to embarrass anybody by my vertical leap, is where Goliath is from. Gath is right on the border of Israel's nation, and where Philistine is. Gath is also where they grow them big, shall we say. It's where the giants, in this case, are, where Goliath is from. And so you can see very clearly that they were a little bit into Israel's territory. You also can see in this verse, as we continue on, that Israel had also camped in this same area, and they were in the valley of Elah. And so on one side of the mountain, you had the Philistines. On the other side of the mountain, or on another mountain, you had Israel. Think about that. It's So they're out there fighting. This isn't the first battle you had. You can see in this picture, they're used to the maps where we're dealing in Israel. Right? Okay? So we all understand what we're dealing with. But what I want you to understand, remember, is God's people now are fighting with people coming into their territory. Okay? And this guy that we always talk about, Goliath, is that one that starts this. How often did he get up to do this? It wasn't one day. I want you to think about that as we go through this. It wasn't just this novel idea he came up with and just yelled it out one day when David just happened to be there. You continue on here, and we see ultimately what's going to happen. In verse 4, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, and his height was 6 cubits in a span, 9 feet tall. That's fairly tall from my understanding of things. I'm 6 feet tall, so that's a little taller than I. He would be able to point at Gath very easily at this point, right? We all understand that. Very tall man. But I'm going to suggest to you, that's not what made him scary. Certainly that's part of it. He was a very intimidating man. But what they continued to point out to everybody in this chapter was, he had been training from his youth. He was a champion. Not only was he tall, not only was he strong enough, we're going to see in just a moment, to carry all of this weight of armor, he was a champion of champions. He was the best that the Philistines had to offer. And the best that Israel had to offer, from human perspective, was shaking in his boots in the corner. That we're going to see in just a moment. The best they had to offer was this little guy that's going to come out with no armor. And the little guy is going to be sent out by the guy that should have been going out there saying, hey, go ahead. I'm going to go over here and get ready to be a slave. Amazing story to me. To see the reaction of the faith that these people had. We begin, or we continue, in verse 5. And he had a bronze helmet, talking of Goliath, on his head. And he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze, 125 pounds. That's shocking to me. Some of you just think that's normal, I guess. Verse 6. And he also had bronze greaves on his feet. On his legs, and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels, which is about 15 pounds, of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and shouted at the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out and draw up to battle array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. And again the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The great lack of faith. Let me ask you a question. Why did Israel have to say, yes, we accept your challenge? Was there any thought of them saying, no, let's all rush and kill him together? Why? This is war. Why would they have to do that? I tried to find an answer to that question. I couldn't find one. This is war. You know what the answer to that is? They were so afraid of Goliath. They were so afraid of him that every day he came out, they ran and hid. It is an amazing story of a lack of faith that they have. I want you to notice that Israel, in verse 16, and we're going to skip around here, it says, and the Philistine, Goliath, came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. 40 days he did this. This wasn't just one time. For 40 days, he came out. I have a feeling the rest of the Philistines would say, hey, watch this. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. That's what I would have been doing. He would come out, he would say the exact same thing for 40 days. And Israel did nothing. Verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting with the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And he was talking with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. They were afraid of him. Now, I don't laugh at that because I would have been scared to death myself. It's amazing to me, I've said this 100 times. When I teach young kids, it's amazing to me how many of them were Davids. And I believe them. I believe them. The older I get, I would have been David's brothers, probably. We're good at that. We're good at that. Oh, you're just here to see the battle. Right? Because we're afraid we're going to insult somebody else. I'd like to think I'm David. I want to stand. I'm trying to get the faith that I need to have to be able to stand. I believe I would. But we also have to understand and be prepared in every situation like David was. Just like the apostles. Oh, God, I would stand. I would fight for you. Jesus, I would stand. I would fight for you. I'd do anything for you. Here comes the cohort to come to pick up Jesus. Where'd they go? What would we have done? It's the understanding. The Israelites here were scared to death. What about the brothers? It's kind of ruined this point. They get upset with David. The oldest brother does in particular, as mentioned here. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard in verse 28. When he spoke to the men, David had talked to them, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." It's amazing to me, because how did God view his heart? You're a man after my own heart. You're going to be the next king. How did his older brother view your heart? I know your heart. You're just down here to watch. I know the insolence of your heart. Really? Really? Isn't that interesting? See, we think we know man's heart. God knows our heart. Quite impressive. His brothers were afraid. They were afraid of what was going to happen. And then you come to the verses that were read. Saul is an interesting man. Saul started off as a humble man. He was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, we're told. He looked the part of a king. He had humble beginnings, but at this point he was not. And he was as scared to death as anybody. He was heard of this young man who was asking about the reward. David goes in and he talks him into going. Whatever the purpose was, whether it was because he had mentioned and saw the confidence that David had in God and that God was with him. The part that I find fascinating is that David tries on the armor. We all know that. And he says, you know what? I haven't tested this. This isn't going to work for me. He takes it off. And in my head, I imagine him seeing him pick up the rocks and walk away thinking, he is going to go fight him with a sling and rocks. All right. That fascinates me of Saul. And how scared Saul would have been, knowing what's at stake. The king. The king. David goes out and he does what he does. He comes back. And if you haven't read it, if you continue on reading in 1 Samuel, the jealousy of this story, because of what happens, is the beginning as to why Saul wants to kill David. Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. The lack of faith that we see in those that should have had it is an amazing perspective of this story. But you think about the next part. Who did Goliath have faith in? There's no question that they had their own gods. No question about that. We're going to set that aside for just a moment. Goliath viewed his own power and what he had. We understand that there is no question that he knows he's going to win. What he puts on the line, quite frankly, is, listen, it's a lot better for me just to go out here. If I win, you guys are going to be our servants. If you win, we'll be yours. Right? No problem. He's not suggesting that because he thinks he's going to lose. And guess what? Israel thinks this is the exact same thing because there's nobody accepting that. No one. They all agree with him. Yes, you are going to win. Can you imagine as Israel watches this young man walk out to the front thinking, this is who we're sending? This is the one? Skip down to verse 41. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. He insults him. Or he's insulted, I should say, at the challenge. Is this a joke? This is the best that you had to offer? He thought he was going to have a true battle. Even Goliath knew this wasn't a contest. It's amazing how people will view their own power. They didn't even view this to be a contest. Can you imagine the Philistines when they see this little guy coming out? This is a joke. This isn't going to be close. They were willing to put their freedom in one man. They were willing to say, all right, Goliath, we'll become servants because we think that you're going to beat him. It's amazing to me. They put their confidence in one man. But you know what happens? I think you probably know the rest of this story. If you don't, the kids probably can sing the song to you. One little stone went up, up, up. There's one little phrase that is mentioned in verse 51 that I think encompasses it all. They were standing there probably watching this, and they were watching that sling go round and round, round and round, laughing hysterically. That this is how he's going to try to fight him. And all it says is they fled. They fled. They fled. As that laughter becomes nothing but shock and realization as to what just happened. They fled. I suggest to you, the story of David and Goliath was never a contest. And it's never a contest, not because of the way that man thinks it to be. It was never a contest because Goliath never had a chance. He never had a chance. And it had nothing to do with Israel's army. It had nothing to do necessarily in and of itself with David and David's talent. It had everything to do with David's God. So I've said this before. People will use the phrase, this is a David and Goliath battle. No, it's not. the small school versus the big power school? No, it's not. Goliath never had a shot. There was no chance. David was going to win as soon as he stood out there because of David's God. But here's the danger of what happens. We're going to turn back to 1 Samuel. But turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 118. There's a lot of times where we put faith in man, and you see what happens time and time again. There's a lot of verses that we can turn to look at for this point. But in Psalm 118, and beginning in verse 8, it says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." We understand very clearly the danger there is in putting our trust in men. Because, quite frankly, man can let us down. It is a danger. From a preacher perspective, we have to understand that preachers or that elders are just human. We make mistakes. We're humans. And our faith has to be in God, in God alone. And we can make application of that into any area, and we need to. But certainly from where we're standing or sitting, we have to understand that. Our faith has to be in God, in God alone. I know of places that have had tremendous trouble in congregations because of people putting their faith or trust in the preacher or in the elders. And the tremendous danger that occurs when he stumbles. And we have to be careful with that. Certainly, that's not something that necessarily, not in every case, that somebody is trying to do. In some cases they are, perhaps. But we're human. David himself is going to stumble. We have to understand where our faith needs to be. And there is no question that David understood it. The verses that were read to us earlier is an amazing part of David's story. David stands before Saul and lists out the things that he had done. And we talked about this before, last week I think, I made mention of it. Isn't it amazing that David just talks about the fact that he went up and killed lions and bears because they had a sheep? What would your reaction to that have been? My reaction is, he got a sheep. That's a shame. We'll let that one go. Write that off on taxes. Right? Something would have come up. Not, let me go kill a lion. It's an amazing thing to me. I understand cultures are different. You don't have to come home and tell me. I got it. What I'm suggesting is there are parts of this story that are just amazing that we don't focus on. We focus on the David and Goliath part, and deservedly so. But it's just amazing his faith. He was always prepared to stand. He did not come up thinking, you know what I'm going to do today? There's a 9-foot guy I have not fought yet. That's what I'm going to do today, I think. That's what I'm missing in my life. But he was always prepared to stand. He did not fight David, or he did not fight Goliath because of any other reason other than the fact that he had gone against and what he said against his God. That's why he fights him. There could have been 3 Goliaths out there, and I am telling you, David would have gone out there. How dare you defy my God? That's why he goes. It had nothing to do with Goliath. It had everything to do with what Goliath said. We miss that. Our point is, you got to be ready to face your giants. You know what the point should be? We got to be ready to stand for our God at all times. Whether there's giants, lions, chickens, whatever is standing before us. I don't know if chickens stand for you or not. Whatever it is. It sounds like a great sermon to say, stand before your giants. Be ready. Face your giants. Good movie. maybe. That's not the point. That's not the point of the story. Stand for God is the point of the story. Stand for God. No matter what you are facing, stand for God. I also suggest to you, David was not the one that should be standing for God in this story alone. He was not the one in authority at this point. He was not the one that was viewed as the leader. He was not the one in his own family that was viewed to be in the army at this point. The one that was fighting at this point. Yet he was the one that was willing to stand. What I'm suggesting with that is, there are times we make up excuses for letting other people do our work. We need to be willing to stand and defend our God, no matter what is before us. And we need to be willing to face anything. One of the most amazing parts, this reminds me so much of when Abraham, it says he got up early to go take his son to sacrifice him. I'm going to tell you, that's the day you sleep in. Right? He got up early and he went, it says. David, it says, did not wait for Goliath to come to him. He ran straight towards him. He ran straight towards him to meet him. He wasn't worried about that. My God is going to give me victory. It is an amazing thing that occurs. In verse 45, David says, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." I have a feeling still at this point there are people laughing. They weren't laughing when he held up that head. They were running. You know what else was a side of this story? As soon as he held up that head, all the cowardly people of Israel's army all of a sudden had tremendous courage and faith in God. Isn't that amazing what happens? Somebody stood in the gap. And the result of that is they went out and took out that army. They fled and they chased them. Because David was willing to stand. We have an opportunity to see people in Hebrews the 11th chapter that did the exact same thing. We're willing to fight. Do you know what it says about David in Hebrews the 11th chapter? It says, "and David." That's all it says about David. I could have given that for a homework assignment, I guess. What's it say about David? "And David." That's all it says. There's so many people of tremendous faith that we read about in the Scriptures that are mentioned in Hebrews the 11th chapter. And all it says of him is, "and David." Men and women of tremendous faith. As Hebrews the 12th chapter goes on and continues to talk about people for us to look at and to see the cloud of witnesses that were willing to give their lives, willing to stand, willing to have faith in the Almighty God. And as chapter 12 goes on to say, first and foremost, Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Him. That we can have the same faith and the same hope and not to lose heart. That we can have the opportunity to be with Him for eternity. What tremendous confidence this young man had, David had. It's a scene of faith that we see with David. What sets David apart from you and from me? So we offer the invitation. I'm going to suggest to you, it's not much. David was not a superhuman. David had a heart that was like God's. What does that mean? It simply meant he was willing to be humble. He was willing to live for him. He was willing to put him first. Doesn't mean he was perfect. He was willing to have confidence in him. He certainly had faith in him. And it's the same kind of thing that we can have. David had full confidence that God was going to be with him when he faced whatever he faced. And we need to have the same confidence. God is with us. In Psalm 118, the verses that we read right before that, it says, if God is with us, who can be against us? Paul repeats that in Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Beautiful verse. It's even more beautiful if we believe it. If you are not a child of God, I cannot even begin to tell you what you are missing. Except to say, it is sad to look into the world and to see all the things that are around and to realize how difficult it is. You do see the giants. You do focus on the difficulties. And that's all that we focus on. But as a child of God, one of the greatest blessings that we have, and there are so many of them, but one of the greatest blessings I think we can talk about is the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. That's why people like David can write, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love that verse. I talk about it a lot. I know I do. I love that verse. Because it does not matter what we face, he is with us. If you have not obeyed him, now's the time. By his grace, mercy, and love, you have the opportunity right now. If you believe that he is the Son of God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is. He sent his Son to die for you, as Ted talked about at the table, to give you the opportunity for salvation. And you understand that you need to repent of the sins that you have committed. Confess him as the Almighty Lord that he is. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you have questions about those things, ask them. Ask. Our goal is simply to get to heaven. That's all. If we can help you, we would love the opportunity. If you can help us get there, help us. Help us. Do not leave. If there's anything we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.